Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Once again, coming into your home, our car. Or what do I know? Maybe your motorcycle. Maybe you got one of those helmets, you know, with a little MP3 player built into the... Ah, well, never mind. Here we are once again on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and it is June 17th. We're getting into the summer months. That means go out and swim. Have fun. You know, don't just work all the time. Work will make you... Okay, it'll make you some money. But it'll make you also look very boring if that's all you do is work. So go out and have some fun. I plan to take some time off in the next couple of weeks and go out and just read and swim and travel, you know, do some fun stuff. So that's what you need to do. Come on. All right, as you know, I like to tell you right up front which podcast this is. This is Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, podcast number 41. You realize, of course, that next week will be episode number 42, which will be the answer to life, the universe, and everything. So 41 would be the answer to life, okay, but not the universe and everything. I don't know. Anyway, it's just going to be one of those interesting programs, I can tell. Alrighty. First of all, I would like to remind everyone...
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
TechPodcasts.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, if it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, because we are part of the Tech Podcast Network. Ah, yes. Lots of good programs to be found at the Tech Podcast Network, so if you go to TechPodcast.com, check out... the affiliate list, and you'll find all kinds of interesting programs. So I would encourage you to do that. Well, I'll tell you what, let's get into some of the things that happened this past week for Dr. Bill on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog, and we'll just see what all happened. First of all, I would like to say thank you once again to Scott Redman. As you know, Scott is an artist of the highest caliber, and does amazing things with his computer. He's the one that designed our header, and I have a new header, a temporary one, that he sent me after the last podcast, because it is celebrating our 1 year. Let's see now, I got corrected on this. Let me go back. It celebrates our anniversary of 1 year of podcasting. I want to make sure I get this right, because I know people are hanging on my every word. Yes. And I want to be sure that I say it correctly. But anyway, Scott heard that it was 1 year of podcasting for us, and so he said, hey, I'm sorry, 1 year of blogging, not quite 1 year of podcasting. Approaching that, but not quite 1 year of podcasting. So for the blog, he sent a new header with a nice little birthday cake and so forth. And that was nice. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate that. Next item is our Geek Software of the Week. I need a, you know, some kind of drum roll or something. Ta-da! Geek Software of the Week. And the Geek Software of the Week this week is really pretty cool. Now, the last several Geek Software of the Weeks have been lame. I'm sorry. And I did get an email from Adam Winter with some suggestions. And Adam, I'm checking those out, looking into them, to see if they are worthy to be Geek Software of the Week. But this one is actually pretty cool. It's RCFTP, and the RC stands for Right Click. Now, as you know, a lot of my Geek Software of the Weeks come about because of trying to find an answer to a technical problem. And technical problems are diverse, okay? They can be technical problems because of a true technical issue, or they can be technical problems because of a, shall we say, more human problem or a social issue. And you say, well, Dr. Bill, what are you talking about? Well, here we go. I'm going to say this as delicately as possible. There are people that simply have a hard time grasping, shall we say, technical issues. And we call these people users. Now, I know the word user, U-S-E-R, is a four-letter word, okay? And I'm sorry if it is offensive to some. I'll say that up front. You know, if young children are listening, please advise them that four-letter words could be used in this podcast, such as user. Okay, having said that, users in and of themselves are not bad. We have to understand the user and help them in such a way that it brings them up a level. You see, we must raise their consciousness so that they can become better users of their computers. Now, here's what happened. I had an individual, a very nice person, really. Again, there's nothing wrong with being a user. It's something you deal with. And they're very nice people. However, they needed a way to send a file to the web server in a secure fashion and weren't getting other methods. You know, I mean, the typical way to send a file to a web server is through FTP. FTP, of course, File Transfer Protocol. It is a technology and a method that allows you to transfer a file transfer, to another computer, but do it in a secure fashion. Okay, now there are a lot of FTP servers, and there are a lot of FTP clients. It is a client-server relationship. But some of those clients can be, shall we say, a little more difficult than others to use. Now, the one that I like to use is an open source project called FileZilla. And that's Mozilla, FileZilla. You know, there's just a bunch of open source projects that end in Zilla. I don't know why, but anyway. FileZilla, excellent, excellent product. Use it all the time. Keep my web server up to date with it. Dude, it rocks. Okay? However, I knew that this user would have problems with FileZilla. They would look at it and go, what? There's just so many configuration options and on and on and on. And unless I had gone to their computer and set it up for them myself, and then once you get it set up, it's just drag, drop, you're done. But it's the getting it set up. And I knew that was going to be an issue. So, I went to the internet. Ta-ta! You can find so many answers there. And I did a search on Google. I wanted to find an FTP client that was easy to use. And lo and behold, RCFTP. Freely available, no cost at all, simple to use. I'm talking, I started to say brain dead simple. I won't go there. Let's just say users can use it easily. Most users can be taught. Now, they don't understand up front. It is not normal for a user to understand right-clicking. However, they can be taught to right-click. You show them the mouse. You show them that there's a little, roly little ball in the middle that allows you to scroll. And then there's a left mouse button that they use all the time. And then there's one over here that they've never really thought about before. It's called the right mouse button. Wow! I didn't know that was there. Once they see that right mouse button, then you can tell them, position your, highlight the file that you want to send, right click, and send the file. And they go, wow, you are a computer god! Right. Anyway, download RCFTP from the link that I have on the website. And then I have instructions. Now, these are the actual instructions that I sent the user in question. Therefore, they are so easy to follow. I won't say they couldn't be messed up, because I'm sure they could be. However, you would have to try fairly hard to mess it up, okay? Yeah. So there's your instructions. Very simple, very easy. Feel free to cut those instructions out and send them to someone that you know that might need to send a file via FTP. Now, of course, setting it up on the other end, the server side of the FTP, creating the account, getting the username and password, getting that set up, you're going to have to take care of that because the user, forget it, dude. All right. Let's move along. We spent a little long on that. That's okay, because it was the Geek Software of the Week, and that's one of the major features of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is Geek Software of the Week. All right, here we go. Microsoft as Big Brother. Yeah. This was a big news story this week in computer circles. Now, probably outside of computer circles, most people went, what? But in computer circles, it was a big deal. It was determined that Microsoft's Windows Genuine Advantage program was, quote, phoning home every day from your computer, assuming, of course, that it was up and on and on the internet, and reporting to Microsoft what you have on your system and what software is there and whether or not it is compliant with Microsoft licensing. And Microsoft basically was doing this to retain the right and ability to essentially shut things down if they needed to on your computer. Uh-huh. Right. It's kind of interesting because, you know, in these days of people being all bent out of shape about domestic spying, which I think is a term that's, shall we say, a little over the top for what's actually happening. But, oh, okay, you know, I'm not going to get into any political discussions. We'll let that alone and move along. But as people are really concerned about that, and there's all kinds of conspiracy schemes and ideas being discussed, this one is real. Microsoft is using their software that they forced on you through a Microsoft security update to phone home information about your computer. You gotta love Microsoft. They just keep getting a little further out there, don't they? Right. Speaking of fun with Microsoft, our next item is fun with Microsoft Notepad. Now, I find this a useful tool. This whole little item here is a useful tool for those of us that are trying to demonstrate that Microsoft is the evil empire and that they are fairly clueless. You see, I work at the best way to put it is Microsoft shop. We have Microsoft servers, Microsoft clients, we have Microsoft developers, we have Microsoft products. Okay, you understand. We're all Microsoft. Now, I have managed to sneak in a little open source here and there, and we do have a Linux server running, but of course, we're not telling anyone. Yeah. So it's a very heavily Microsoft shop, and there are several of our developers that work there that they have basically drunk the Kool-Aid. I mean, they are truly Microsoft, top to bottom, side to side, end to end, inside and out. They belong to Microsoft. Now, these people, if you mention open source, the steam begins to come out of the ears and the face begins to get bright red. And they talk about communist socialist software. Dude, chill. Anyway, they believe that Microsoft essentially is being persecuted, and it's really not their fault, and they're really a great company, and they make great software, and there's just nothing wrong with Microsoft software. Now, for that mentality, just to kind of mess with their head a little bit, this thing is great, okay? Here's what you do. You tell them, did you know that Notepad, one of the simplest Microsoft Windows applications that there is, that's been around forever, is broke? And they'll go, no, it's not. And you say, okay, look, here's what you do. Bring up Notepad. And they click and they bring it up. Like, just wait, I'll show you. And then you say, okay, type in, this app can break. Four words, THIS, this is all lowercase, APPCANBREAK, this app can break. Okay, now, save the file to your hard drive with some name. Close out Notepad. And then open the file by double-clicking it. Now, what's going to happen if you open a text file that you just created with Notepad? It should open with Notepad, right? Yeah, okay, it will. But then where's your little four-word sentence, this app can break? It's been replaced by boxes. And you tell them, dude, what happened to your Notepad application? And they'll go, yeah, it's broken. Now, it's not seriously broken. And there's even been some on the internet that have said that if you then now close it once again and reopen it, it will say this app can break. But there's still something inherently squirrely about the application, wouldn't you say? If you can type something in it and close it and it comes back as little bitty boxes? Try it. You'll like it. It's great. Doesn't cause any permanent damage, but it's fun. Yes, even the mighty Microsoft is not perfect. All right, next item. Now, this item is a kinder, gentler item about Microsoft. Even the doctor can be kinder and gentler. And indeed, this one is. This is about the fact that it was announced that Bill Gates will retire in 2 years. Now, obviously, it's kind of a shot across the bow because he's still there. He will be there for 2 years, but he will be slowly relinquishing day-to-day management, you know, operational control of Microsoft. And actually, it's, you know, hey, good for Bill, all right? You know, he's worked at Microsoft for all these years. He's developed it into the largest company in the world. He's the richest man in the world. He's met with some success. He has taken a lot of his money and has contributed to worthy causes. He and his wife, Melinda, it's kind of weird because, you know, Bill Gates and I aren't exactly the same age. And, you know, he was born November 55. I'm born in November 55. Both of us 50 years old. He has a wife, Melinda. My wife's name is Belinda with a B. The parallels are frightening. Not really. Okay. He has several billions, hundreds of billions of dollars more than I do. But we won't go there. Anyway, both of us are in computers. I graduated from college. He didn't. Okay, I graduated from college several times and he didn't. Okay, I graduated from college with a bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate, and a second doctorate, and he didn't. Okay, never mind. Let's not get cheeky, Dr. Bill. Okay. He's still worth more money. All right. The bottom line is, I wish him well. Good for you, Bill. Hey, you know, he's going to go out and run his foundation and give away some money. Hey, I can get behind it. Go for it. And I know some people, like I said in the article, think the aliens must have replaced me because I'm not rejoicing that Bill is leaving Microsoft and it's the end of an era and Microsoft is going to fade from view now that the evil master overlord is gone and, you know, all those things that you expected me to say, which, of course, I'd never say, now would I? No. All right, let's move along here. Next item, help protect the free internet. There is a grassroots program called Save the Internet that's going on. And if you notice on the right-hand column of my blog, I have a Save the Internet little logo there that you can click on and go to their website. Help preserve net neutrality. Don't let Congress gut the internet's First Amendment and all kinds of other good slogans. However, apparently, I found out just this morning early, given that I'm recording this well before 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, I clicked on the news and there it was. Looks like Congress did pass this, and now it's gone on to the Senate. So, folks, it's getting serious. Contact your senators. Tell them to quash this. There are commercials on that talk about TV freedom. And why is it TV freedom? Because the telecom industry is wanting to get into the, quote, cable industry. They want to be able to show television over telephone lines. And they are actually, part of this effort is to regulate and actually give them the ability to section off parts of the internet, making some, let's say, fast lanes on the internet and some slower lanes on the internet. And if unless you pay them a premium, you'll be relegated to the slow lane. Okay? That's what net neutrality is about, that everybody has the same playing field. And after all, what's so cool about what you're listening to right now, this podcast, is that one ordinary, you know, American citizen, me, can sit down with my laptop and a headset and a microphone, which is right here, and I can broadcast to many people out there that are listening to this podcast, and it basically be my choice, my decision to do so, and your choice to listen. That's what internet freedom is about. And, you know, I don't care what your political persuasion. You may be the most absolute commie, wacko, socialist, freakoid, tree-hugging weirdo out there, or you may be a solid American conservative Republican. Now, I'm not going to give away my political affiliation at all. Suffice it to say that the patriotic American is more my style. At any rate, the point being that both right and left of the political spectrum agree the internet should remain free and open and accessible as it is. And I will join my tree-hugging friends, chained arm in arm, to hold forth the fact that the internet should remain free. Yes, indeed. And for our net culture of the week this week, I have something for you. Now, this is a song freely available as an MP3 on the internet, which would be in question if the legislation that's in process of being, you know, going through Congress and Senate, if it comes to pass and gets signed into law, the ability to get those free MP3s. Now, I'm not talking about illegal downloads. I'm talking about free ones like this might be impeded as well. This is an MP3 by a group of ladies who call themselves the Broadband. Right. Now, there was a song by a group called the Broadband in a Flash video several years back that was called Internet Killed the Video Star. Internet killed the video star. It was just cute. Okay, but that's a different Broadband. Okay, this is a group of ladies calling themselves the Broadband, and they have a song called God Save the Internet.
Hey, Mr. Telecom Man, God save the internet. Don't change my reality. Keep net neutrality. God save the internet. All I wanna be is free to choose where I get my music and I get my news, where I hook up with a creep or I buy my shoes. Don't bring me down. It's an old timey tale about a modern mess where some of them folks in our Congress wanna send us back to the days of the Pony Express and slow our speed.
Yeah, I had to bleep out something there. You know how it is. Kind of reminds you of the 60s, doesn't it? Let's all wave our hands in the air.
Take a year, shout it out and hope someone hears, or just ignore it and drink a beer. Don't believe the hype, don't buy the fear. She's a terrible mother, that Britney Spears.
What does that have to do with anything?
Remind you, it's election year.
Oh, okay. I've got my candle now, waving it.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
Mr. Oh, yeah. We shall overcome. Yes, indeed, we shall overcome.
Hey, Mr. Telecom Man,
yeah.
Don't change my reality.
Let's join on. Okay, it's not the greatest group of music in the world, but you can tell it's from the heart. Yes, indeed. Reminds me of the days of yore and past, too. At any rate, there you go. God save the internet. And, you know, I put a little humorous twist to that, but there is a serious part of this. We do need to let the Congress, maybe a little late, but the Senate now know that we do want to have a free and open internet. And so I would encourage you to click on the link to Save the Internet and go to their action steps, you know, part of the site, and send your email, send your messages, send your letters. Let your senators know we need to stop this because we do need to have a free and open internet. And I do believe in that net neutrality. All right, quickly, running out of time. Microsoft did confirm this week that there is an Excel zero-day attack underway. As of June 15th, they confirmed that a new undocumented flaw is widely in use in Excel spreadsheets is being used to attack against an unnamed target. It actually appears to be attacking a specific company. So, very strange things are afoot there, and I'm sure they will try to get out a patch as quickly as possible. Matter of fact, they might even just push one to you for that very reason. So, next item. Does Gates' retirement signal Linux's time to move ahead? Stephen J. Von Nichols is just a little bit of a computer curmudgeon himself in the open source arena, and he specifically talks a lot about Linux and open source issues, and he has an article that is in Linux Watch that basically posits that Bill Gates' retirement as the driving personality behind Microsoft, by him leaving the stage, there may be an opening for Linux to gain some ground, gain some foothold. So read his article. There's a link in my blog to that article. Is Gates' retirement Linux's chance? Click on that and check it out. And one quick quote from him, he says, it was Gates' vision, his win-at-any-cost drive that pushed Microsoft from being just one of the many 1970s software companies to being the Godzilla of software. Anyone who's really looked at Microsoft's rise knows it was Gates' business tactics and not the quality of Microsoft software. Remember that notepad trick earlier? That made the company what it is today. Can it still be the company without him at the helm? I don't see it. I don't see it at all. That's a quote from his article. Check it out. I think you will enjoy it. Well, I'll tell you what, we've run just a few minutes over, but it's been a fun podcast, particularly that flashback to the 60s and 70s with God Save the Internet. So we'll deem this the God Save the Internet podcast edition of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. Write me. I want to hear from you. Listen, I appreciate the letters that I've been getting. I'm going to take some time next week on the Answer to Life, the Universe, and Everything podcast, which will be next week's podcast, to read some of the great letters I've been getting, and I really, really do appreciate it. So join us then. And remember until then that the doctor, of course, is out until next week.